بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, in the opening verses of Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very special favor of His upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a favor, such a ni'mat, which was not given to the ummahs of the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His divine arrangement to protect the Holy Qur'an from any form of alteration, any form of modification or change. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah says, indeed we reveal the Holy Qur'an and we have taken it upon ourselves to protect it. Under this verse, Alama Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions an incident relating to the Khalifa Ma'mun. Ma'mun was a very righteous man, and he was also academically quite adept and well-versed. And therefore he used to hold regular court sessions in which he would invite different scholars and academics to come and discuss and debate various issues and various topics. On one occasion, Ma'mun was sitting in his court, and he sees a very well-dressed man enter. And this person begins to speak and put forward an argument. And Ma'mun realizes that he is a very intelligent man. So as the session winds to a close, he approaches him, and it turns out that this person was a Jew. So Ma'mun now invites him to Islam. But this person is very staunch. He refuses and he says that Judaism has been the religion of my forefathers, and therefore I am not prepared to leave it. And he then leaves the court of Ma'mun and he leaves that city. 1 year passes, and now Ma'mun is once again sitting in his court. And he sees the very same man enter. And this time when this individual begins to speak and put forward his argument, he is now arguing in favor of Islamic law, Islamic jurisprudence. So Ma'mun is now taken aback. And after the court session, he approaches this man once again. And he asks him to explain himself. So this person says that after I had left your court, I decided to do some research of my own. So I purchased 3 copies of the Torah, and I then proceeded to make additions to it and subtract from it. And I then took these copies, these editions of the Torah, and I took it to 3 different synagogues. And I requested them to have a look at it. And when they looked into these copies, they were very pleased with them. They were very taken aback at the font and the calligraphy in which I had written them. And they proceeded to pay me a large sum of money for these copies. He says, I then went back and I took 3 copies of the Injil. And I proceeded to do the same thing, add to them and subtract from them. And I then took these copies to 3 different churches. And I did the same thing, I presented them. And they paid me a large sum of money for these copies. He says, finally I took 3 copies of the Holy Quran. And I proceeded to make additions to them and subtract from them. And I took them not to 3 different masjids. But to various different scholars and individuals. And each one of them looked into the copies of the Holy Quran and they shook their heads and they were not prepared to pay me even a cent for these copies. He says, after seeing this, I became convinced that this book is divinely protected from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And it is not only the words of the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to protect, but the meanings of the Holy Quran as well. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we sent the Quran to you so that you may explain its meanings to the people. In other words, ulama explain that the ahadith and the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are in reality an explanation of the Holy Quran itself. And therefore we find that there are a large number of authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this too Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to protect. So we have a deen which is pristine, which has been protected from any form of alteration, modification, divinely from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. This is one of the greatest ni'mats, blessings and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah alone. And then in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to another great ni'mat, a great favor of His upon this ummah also. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. speaking about the speciality of this ummah. That the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent into this world to invite others towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines basic guidelines which any person inviting towards Islam, be it in a collective form or a person in his own individual capacity, whether it be in the workplace or whether it be a person going out on some business trip, he comes across different types of people. Any type of person who is inviting towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these guidelines have been mentioned to try and assist us in inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible way. Allah says, "Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah." The first guideline is that call to the way of your Lord with hikmah. Hikmah is what we very loosely translate as wisdom. Alama Alusi Baghdadi rahimahullah, in his tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, explains this word hikmah, what is its meaning. He says, "Al-kalamu as-sawab al-waqi'u fi an-nafs ajmal mawqi'." It is that sound word which will take its place in the heart of a person. In other words, it will make a person feel completely at home, completely comfortable. He does not feel under pressure, he does not feel intimidated, he does not feel threatened by your advice, by your invitation towards him. So the first guideline is that when you are inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you are commanding with good and forbidding from evil, then use this tactic of hikmah, that you make a person feel completely at ease, put him at rest, and he will then be more inclined towards accepting your message. The second guideline, وَالْمُوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Allah says, use good arguments, good proofs. In other words, speak to a person on his level. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. That when you are speaking to people, give them glad tidings and do not chase them away. Do not speak to them only about Jahannam. And if you do not do good, Allah will punish you. Allah will put you into Jahannam. And you are going to live a life in the akhirat of misery, of disgrace, of hardship. Rather, bashiru, give a person glad tidings, the ni'mats of Jannat, the blessings of Jannat, the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has in store for you. And this will then incline a person towards Islam and towards coming onto a life of deen. And the third guideline which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That if you have to get into an argument with any person, or if the person you are inviting asks you for some proof, then give him those proofs and those arguments in the best possible way. Do not get into any argument, any debate with him. Do not raise your voice. Do not use bad language with him. If we look into the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, whenever their nations and their communities had to speak bad of them or had to ridicule them, what was their response? We find Musa and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to Fir'aun, who was the greatest tyrant that this ummah has ever seen. Yet what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command them? فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا. That when you go to Fir'aun, speak to him in soft tones. Speak to him with gentle words. We find Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his people said to him, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. We see you to be greatly misguided. You are gone off the track. What response? قَالَ يَا قُومِ لَيْسَ بِي ضَلَالًا. O my people, I am not misguided. وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am merely a messenger from the Lord of all the worlds. Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, a similar thing happened to him. إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَا. His people said to him, we think you to be very foolish. You are not on the intellectual level of as we are. What response does he give to them? قَالَ يَا قُومِ لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَا. I am not foolish. وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But I am a messenger from the Lord of all the worlds. Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam, his people ridiculed him, they mocked at him. Again, what does he say to them? In uridu illa al-islaha mastata'at. I only wish to rectify matters between you and your creator. I wish to connect you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then use these guidelines that have been given to us. Speak in soft, gentle tones. Invite a person with good, rational proofs and arguments. And try and win him over. And we will find that we will then attract people towards Islam, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will fulfill the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.